Welcome back to the Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Joe Ali, Matt Marchese with you on this podcast-only waiver wire edition of the podcast, the show. Again, you can reach us anytime at SNS Ali with two L's, at MattyMar89, at The Fantasy Show on Twitter. I guess, well, you can reach us as long as Twitter is around, but let's hope it's for a little while longer. We're here to break down all of the waiver wire ads ahead of waiver wire processing on Wednesdays. And Matt, week 10 in the books, and another super eventful week, some big injuries, which obviously always affects the waiver wire, right? Like, you're always looking at injuries and situations where guys can maybe pop in. You and I were talking about this right before we hit record here, but Jerry Jeudy injured, not great. A lot of other guys getting dinged up. I mean, DeAndre Swift still scoring a touchdown, but DeAndre Swift still maybe getting some rest and so on. Jamal Williams still being worked in there in a huge way. Brandon Cooks making his return. And actually, he actually almost had a touchdown. I think he actually did catch a touchdown, and then it was called back due to some kind of penalty. So, I mean, you know, he had his captaincy stripped from him. It was a very eventful week across week 10 in the NFL. Now it's officially in the books. And it all started with a game in Germany. And I believe Tom Brady now becomes the first ever QB, not even QB, actually. I think it's first ever NFL player to win a game in four different countries, which is actually pretty impressive. I don't think one of them is Canada, though. Somehow, I don't think one of them is Canada.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's actually played in Canada.
I don't think the
Bills in Toronto series ever had them play New England, although that would have been quite something. But yeah, it's, I guess if you play long enough, you get opportunities. And if you're as good as Tom Brady's been in his career, you get opportunities to play in those games. So yeah, it was an interesting game, that's for sure. It was one of the better European games that we've seen.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what's funny? I started Geno Smith in a couple of 2QB leagues, and I thought, I think it was maybe a couple minutes into the fourth quarter, and I thought, man, like, of course the 1 week I finally start Geno, because it was in leagues where, like, it was like Justin Fields, or it was like Dak Prescott, or Lamar Jackson was the other guy, right? And finally, one guy was on bye. I think Burrow was on bye in a couple of leagues here, so I needed to start Geno, and I was like, oh man, of course the first time I start Geno the entire season, he's like kind of putting up a dud. And then he comes alive in the fourth quarter. They almost win it. The Buccaneers do manage to put away the Seahawks with the running game, the help of the running game, not much less Tom Brady, in that fourth quarter. But man, I got to say, before we get to the waiver wire stuff, and Geno Smith himself was one of our waiver wire pickups earlier on in the season, he has been phenomenal. Like, again, I don't know what his contract situation looks like in 2023. Like, we know from Ian Rapoport from NFL Network that he is going to be the starter next year, barring an injury or something like that. But man, Geno Smith has been electric, relative to expectations electric, and he has kept the entire Seahawks fantasy offense alive, including DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, and Tyler Lockett caught another touchdown for 3 weeks in a row. DK Metcalf was great again. Kenneth Walker is proving to be worth every draft capital that they spent on him. They did draft him in the second round, and kind of people were shaking their heads. Well, you got Rashad Penny, and look how good Rashad Penny was. Well, Rashad Penny can never stay healthy, and Kenneth Walker has been really good. This past week, it wasn't as good as we've seen. He didn't score a touchdown, which we're normally used to with him. But again, still another player that, you know, was drafted later and could end up being a league winner with how that offense is rolling.
Yeah, the offense for, like you said, Kenneth Walker, he didn't I don't want to say a dud necessarily. Everyone's gonna,
for his
have,
standards, it was a dud.
that's kind of the thing, right? Like, he still had around 10 points in half PPR leagues because he had some pretty, he was involved in the passing game, especially late in the game when the Seahawks were trailing. So you, like, that's, it's you'll take like 10 points out of your running backs, even in like really any year, and you wouldn't complain too much about it. But yeah, given his recent production, I think he kind of hoped for a lot more. Same goes with like someone like Travis Etienne, to look at another running back. He had been so good, but the Jags got down early, so early, and he ended up, they kind of went away from the run game a little bit, much to the delight of Christian Kirk owners, maybe a little less so for Travis Etienne owners. But On the other side of the field for the Buccaneers, that's where I wanted to start with our waiver wire pickups this week. Actually, this is a guy we've talked about before, Rashad White, of course, who is the rookie running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, he was the one I mentioned. The Buccaneers iced the game with the running attack, and Rashad White was the guy who was headlining that rushing attack late in the game because Leonard Fournette did leave the game with a hip pointer, and he did not return. So I think a lot of people were kind of like, oh man, is this going to go from a committee to finally having a rookie take over the backfield? And Rashad White did look very, very good once he had the ball in his hands the majority of the time. He is rostered in 45% of Yahoo leagues, but so on the off chance he is available, I think absolutely you should go get him. But I will just say, Matt, I think, I'm not sure if it was earlier today or if it was yesterday, time is a flat circle, it all blends together for me, but I do believe that Leonard Fournette is expected to play next week, as in week 11. So I guess good news if you're a Fournette owner, less good news if you were planning to spend a lot of fab on Rashad White. But having said that, I mean, even if it is a committee, and we've seen the injury to Fournette, it's best to pick him up, I would say, anyways.
Yeah, so the Bucs are actually on a bye, so that's probably why they're optimistic.
Oh, there you go. Even better.
That he's going to play. But having said all that, like, Rashad White has looked really good. And again, I feel like people, and there's another player that we're going to get to. I don't know why people, like, we need people listening to this show. Because we've been harping on the Rashad White train from the beginning of the season. And we said, just wait. It's going to happen. And I think we're starting to see Rashad White slowly take over that backfield. He's more dynamic. He's been making plays. 22 carries for 105 yards against Seattle. And Seattle's defense has been better than expected. And with Leonard Fournette, like, if they're on the off chance he doesn't play, I mean, that is absolutely wheels up for Rashad White, and that's league-winning upside because it does feel like the Buccaneers' offense, it looked better against the Seahawks. I'm not saying it looked like it did last year, but it looked better. Like, Chris Godwin was better. Mike Evans had an off night, or an off game by Mike Evans standards, but Godwin was good, and Brady was better, and Rashad White looked good. The whole rushing attack looked good, which is going to open up opportunities for Tom Brady. So if they can continue to run the ball successfully, I think Rashad White's going to have a big, big part in that.
Yeah, I think if he is the guy, he is talented enough to keep that rushing offense afloat. And I will say it's a no easy task to earn the trust of Tom Brady. It's just not. I will say, maybe the most entertaining moment in that entire game, Matt, was probably when they did the Wildcat with Leonard Fournette, and that madman actually threw a 45-year-old Tom Brady a jump ball. It wasn't like he was wide open or anything. The guy, he had to, like, stop and jump for it. And, I mean, what did you expect? The 6-something 45-year-old Tom Brady just fell down because, like, is it really worth having your future Hall of Fame quarterback just go up and hurt himself when he comes down on an awkward pass with the CB getting tangled with that guy? Probably not. So Brady, I think, did the wise thing. And then, unsurprisingly, he was barking at Leonard Fournette in the immediate aftermath of that play. I when I saw that on Twitter, I thought to myself, like, what was Leonard Fournette thinking? Like, was he just trying to help, quote unquote, help Brady out? Or was, I don't know. I honestly wish I could be like a fly in the wall inside of Leonard Fournette's decision-making process there.
Yeah, that was something of legend, that play. Like, Tom Brady falling as the corner is picking off Leonard Fournette. I mean, but like you said, it was a jump ball. Like, that's one of the funniest things ever, because Tom Brady, for as good a shape as he is in, he does not scream super athletic at this point in his career. So forget
never,
him even
not yet. Even this point of his career, never in his career.
That's true. So think about, like, Tom Brady just running a route as being like, oh my God, that's way off the charts for us. Now you throw him a 50-50 ball. I don't know about this one. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's definitely going to go down in history as one of the worst plays that we've seen.
Yeah, like if the NFL did, like, you know, Shaq does, like, the come on, man, like the Shaq and a fool thing. Like, if they ever did that again, that would be the number one. Like, if they did a year long 2022 thing, that would be number one, I think, on the entire list. But yeah, Rashad White, like I said, not easy to earn the trust of Tom Brady. And I mean, if he is involved anymore, he is going to be a valuable fantasy asset. 45% owned in Yahoo leagues. It's possible, like, I think the most likely scenarios for White at this point in the year is that maybe people just, because of short benches or because he hadn't produced too much, like in the sense that not enough to put in your lineup, because he probably hadn't produced too much, maybe going into heavy bye weeks where you couldn't afford to start him or roster him on the bench in place of someone else, he might have just simply been dropped, right? So I think that might be someone to take a look at on the waiver wire, because I think, yeah, longer team benches probably rostered, but still 45% worth taking a look. And another guy who is actually 24% owned, and I have a feeling this is who you were referring to when you're talking about another guy who maybe is in the same boat. Another guy we've talked about, Isaiah Pacheco with the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know what the philosophical shift for Andy Reid and Bieniemy's offense was to make this be the case, but Pacheco in this past week basically was the main running back. Like Jerick McKinnon was essentially relegated to third down duties, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, their former first round pick, I don't think he either saw the ball like once or not at all. Like he basically did not touch the football all game long against the Jaguars. Pacheco, like, I don't know about you, Matt, Pacheco kind of reminds me of like Kareem Hunt when he was on the Chiefs. He's just such a violent running back in the sense that he goes and seeks out contact all the time. I mean, he's like Ezekiel Elliott or Derrick Henry, but like a little smaller, right? And I think at 24% owned, Pacheco might not be a bad look-see, because even in competitive leagues, he might have been dropped again with heavy bye weeks in week 9 and in week 10.
Yeah, and he's got the Chargers, Rams, and Bengals in the next three games. He had the 16 carries for 82 yards, logged 55% of the running back snaps. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I believe, played 6 snaps. He did not have a carry. It was 6 or 7 Jeez. Snaps. He did not have a carry. He was not involved. Like, what a fall. Now, I wouldn't even want to call it a fall from grace, but it's just none of this makes any sort of sense. It really doesn't as it pertains to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because in the time that he has played this year, it hasn't been horrible. Hasn't been horrible, and it's just like he was really efficient at scoring touchdowns, which, I mean, for running a lot of running backs in that offense, it hasn't been that hard to do. But having said all that, I just don't, it's crazy to me that they spent the first round pick on him. There were 4 or 5 other running backs that I had ranked ahead of him at that time, and he was the first running back off the board. It was Jonathan. Just think about the guys that got drafted behind him. Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, all were drafted behind him. And could you imagine a guy like Jonathan Taylor or DeAndre Swift in this Chiefs offense? It just feels that was a big, big miss by the Chiefs. But Isaiah Pacheco, he was a later round pick. I believe he's a 6th round pick. But I agree. Like, you talked about that running style like Kareem Hunt. That's exactly what it feels like. Very violent. And it does feel like every time he runs the ball and gets up, he's ready to point for the first down. And he's, like, angry about it. It's yeah, so it's bizarre. It's so bizarre. But he could end up being a player that gets that. You know, if he's the guy who's going to end up getting maybe goal line touches on an offense that is as good as we've seen them be, especially over the course of the last 3 or 4 weeks, they've been on fire, then that's a really, really significant add for anybody at this point in the year. And even if you have a deep roster, like if your roster is really good and you're saying, well, I may or may not want to add him so nobody else gets him, because you don't want to have that mistake and then he ends up being, you know, a guy that could be a league winner and you could have stashed him just to keep him away from somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. We're in the point of the year where that, like, making those kinds of moves to block other players, whether you're who you're competing with in various leagues or what have you, I think that is That is absolutely a valid point. And yeah, Pacheco, again, 24% rostered in Yahoo leagues basically means that he is likely, possibly available in your league. So definitely go out and give him a look. I honestly, of the other players on this list, you have three other players. They're all wide receivers. I don't know if it's just because running backs are kind of at a premium this year, like running backs who actually produce. I want to ask you an AJ Dillon question before we get out of here, given that the Packers are playing the Titans on Thursday night. I want to get to that one before we go, but you look at the AJ Dillon types, and I don't know, wouldn't you rather have Pacheco or Rashad White versus AJ Dillon, for example, right? So anyways, I think the kind of runner he is, and he's a relatively young guy. I think you definitely want a piece of the Chiefs offense. And furthermore, I mean, I don't know what the status of Juju Smith-Schuster is, and I hope he's okay, because that was a violent collision he took right to the helmet, and they had the fencing thing, right? So he was out immediately. He was ruled out very quickly with the concussion protocol, so I really do hope the best for Juju. But if he is out in any way, shape, or form, Mecole Hardman was already banged up. I know Kadarius Toney had a pretty explosive game, and we recommended Toney as well at one point, so I hope you picked him up. But we keep talking about you want the best parts of the best offenses, and if Patrick Mahomes after Travis Kelce is really just throwing to Kadarius Toney and, like, you know, one other guy, then, you know, you might as well look to the run game a teensy bit. Let's get to those three wide receivers, and let's start with the guy who is highest owned, Donovan Peoples-Jones, 35% owned. Again, I don't think we need to spend too much time on Peoples-Jones, only because we recommended him to you, I think, last week. Was it last week?
And the week before. Yeah. 2 weeks in a row, and his percentage has gone up, like, barely 30%.
Yeah, kind of surprising.
Well, you know, here's the thing, Sho, and this is why we tell people to listen to what we're talking about here, because Donovan Peoples-Jones, he like I wrote, he keeps ending up on this list, and we're trying to figure out why he keeps ending up on this list, because the production is there every single week. He had five catches for 99 yards this past Sunday against Miami. He's had at least 71 yards in five of the last 6 weeks. His only blemish on the season is that he doesn't have a receiving touchdown yet this year. That's it. Because everything else, the production has been great. He's actually 28th in receiving yards in the league. And considering that he's had Jacoby Brissett throwing him the ball, and very soon we'll have Deshaun Watson throwing him the ball, I'd like to take my chances with Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Where is Keenan Allen? Is Keenan Allen in? Is he higher or lower than 28th, you think?
He would be lower. A lot lower.
A lot lower. Yeah, has he played more than one game this year, Keenan Allen? Actually, I'm not sure. I don't think so. Right?
I don't think so.
It's just maybe just one. So. Yeah, boy. That's been a rough year for Keenan Allen. Yeah, Donovan Peoples-Jones, 35% owned, which, again, I think in... I do think, at least right now, maybe this changes, and this is why we're telling you to go out and get him. Because right now with Jacoby Brissett, who has been admittedly throwing the ball more than I thought he would, but even so, Donovan Peoples-Jones, I think, has a little smidge more value in half or full PPR leagues. But when Deshaun Watson comes back, and it might very well simply be in time for the fantasy playoffs, because I believe he doesn't come back until week 13. And given that there are 18 weeks in the season, given that every team plays 17 games plus a bye, there are 18 weeks in the season, which essentially means that your fantasy playoffs are coming up soon, shortly after Deshaun Watson returns as the QB of the Cleveland Browns. If he looks even kind of okay, and that offense can support some higher quality targets / passes for wide receivers or pass catchers, let's call them, then I imagine, along with Amari Cooper, that Donovan Peoples-Jones will be valuable. So even if, I mean, he's also startable right now as your flex play until you get to that point. So I definitely like Donovan Peoples-Jones for all the reasons Matt just said. The other two wide receivers, 6% owned and 9% owned. I gotta say, Darius Slayton, 6% owned, and Christian Watson, 9% owned. I'm actually, like, if you had asked me, before you sent me this list, if you had asked me, who is higher owned between Christian Watson and Darius Slayton? I honestly would have said Darius Slayton. Honest to God.
Yeah, and I was surprised to see that he was that low. Like, I know it's not a high volume passing offense with the Giants, and I know Daniel Jones does have his limitations as a passer, but Darius Slayton has at least 58 yards and or a touchdown in four of his last five games.
Yeah,
he's been very productive, good. And he's been the number one receiver for the Giants, and to have a number one receiver on any team, it's still a good thing to have. And Darius Slayton's produced at this level before. He was a really good receiver, and I don't know what happened over the last couple of years, because as a rookie, he was pretty good.
Great. Yeah, he was
great. And now, you know, he's kind of gotten back into that as more of a deep threat. Like, I know he averaged like 31 yards per catch on Sunday, but it doesn't matter. He's still producing. He's still the guy that they're looking to the most. And he's been pretty impressive, considering he's a guy that you didn't draft because he was like, I don't know, wide receiver 5 or something. And now he's the number one wide receiver on a team that's 7-2 and winning football games.
Yeah, Darius Slayton has looked great. I mean, if you had to pick just one wide receiver, I don't think you have, from the Giants offense rather, I don't think you have to look too much farther. I mean, you look at Wandale Robinson, we had him as a waiver wire pickup at one point, and I mean, I'm sure some people did. I picked him up in a couple of leagues for free, essentially. And Wandale has looked, I mean, a little less impressive over the last couple of games than versus when we first saw his action earlier in the season, like about a month ago or thereabouts. And I mean, Kenny Galladay, he seems like his Giants career, maybe his NFL career, I don't know, but he seems kind of like he's toast. So I'm not sure if you really need to roster Kenny Galladay at this point. So yeah, like you said, low volume passing offense, a lot of the rushing yards being extracted from the feet of either Daniel Jones himself or, of course, Saquon Barkley, who looked fantastic once again. So, I agree with you. If you get the wide receiver one on really any offense in 2022, that guy is probably worth rostering. So I like the Darius Slayton pickup, 6% owned. And Christian Watson, 9% owned. I guess because he has the draft pedigree, right? He's one of the higher wide receivers picked. And then, of course, this past week in Week 10, he puts up a 3-touchdown game. And a couple of long ones. He made a great catch, like in the red zone, and then kind of just stayed on his feet just in time to get into the end zone. And still got 2 more TDs after that. So much needed help for Aaron Rodgers as they defeat the Dallas Cowboys, which honestly might have been one of the biggest upsets of the week, given how awful, just truly awful, the Packers had looked and how good the Dallas Cowboys have looked. So I get why he's slightly higher owned at this point than Slayton, but let me ask you this. How much do you believe this kind of performance, because it's not like you can count on 3 touchdowns every week, as nice as that would be, Matt, but I mean, how much can you count for a repeatable performance in terms of gaining the trust of Aaron Rodgers? And B, if you do believe that's the case, should you just be spending all your fab, or are you going to be more cautious with the usage and bidding on Christian Watson?
I would be a little bit more cautious only because there's a health issue here. It seems like it's been all year. There's a health issue with Christian Watson, but there's talent there. And that's the thing that keeps us coming back, right? The 4 catches, 107 yards. And you mentioned the 3 touchdowns on 8 targets, and Aaron Rodgers didn't throw the ball a ton. By the way, just as a quick aside, how was the Aaron Rodgers breakout against the Dallas Cowboys defense and not the Detroit Lions? Nothing makes sense anymore. But part of this is no Romeo Doubs, no Randall Cobb. I mean, even Sammy Watkins had a good game for the Green Bay Packers. And again, the biggest question mark with Christian Watson is not the ability, it's not the speed, it's if he can stay healthy. And if he can stay healthy and Randall Cobb and Romeo Doubs continue to miss time, guess what? Aaron Rodgers is going to have to throw the ball to somebody. And the Green Bay Packers in the NFC still have a belief that they can make the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback and Aaron Jones as their running back. So they do believe the defense is pretty good. We've talked about that. So I think if you have wide receiver issues, you can throw a dart at Christian Watson. It may hurt him, but you can throw a dart at Christian Watson.
Yeah, maybe like throw a dart near Christian Watson then. Like,
yeah,
maybe
that's not, probably like,
maybe,
it.
Not, maybe not right.
Or
not
a rubber-ended right one, or one of those ones that have the oh my God, the Velcro on them when you throw them against the Velcro dartboard. That's pretty much all you can do.
Maybe aim. Maybe use a beanbag instead. Maybe that's better. The Christian Watson, very very impressive performance. I don't have the numbers, but I would guess after a multiple catch, 100+ yard, 3 touchdown effort, I would guess he was the highest scoring rookie of the week. And I mean, that says something. Given A, the state of the Packers offense, and B, given how impressive a lot of the rookies have been this season, especially the wide receivers. Like, man, the wide receivers have looked fantastic this season. So if Christian Watson becomes another one of those guys, then I think you can feel pretty good about it. Like, worst case, I don't think you should be spending a ton of fab, but worst case, he is someone who is a flex play or maybe even a better contributor in your lineup down the stretch. Or worst case, you get maybe one or two good games out of him and you didn't. It's like the opportunity cost was pretty low, right? So I think the acquisition cost for Christian Watson, again, at 9% owned in Yahoo leagues, I expect that number to spike in a huge way, but I imagine he wouldn't, you know, with a lot of other guys available on the waiver wire this week, I imagine he is still one of the better options out there. Matt, before we go, good of us to end on the Packers note, because I did want to talk about the Thursday night game with you very briefly. The Titans taking on the Packers. I don't know how exciting that game is. Is going to be necessarily. Are we going to watch it? Yes, we are going to watch it. Will maybe I go see Wakanda Forever a second time so I don't have to watch it? Yes, that's also maybe in the cards. But I wanted to ask you about AJ Dillon because, so Aaron Jones in week 9 in that game got banged up. He did suit up this week in week 10, but there's news that I guess he like injured his shin in some way, Aaron Jones. So if that's the case, let's say he is dinged up and either is limited in the lead up to Thursday or does not play on Thursday. Are you starting AJ Dillon on a Thursday night? Because we had this same conversation last week about Terrace Marshall Jr. Now, we had that conversation because people were going to go and think about picking up Terrace Marshall Jr. I said last week I wasn't super comfortable with having to potentially stare at a low number from him after from Thursday all the way to Sunday. But where are you on that same prospect for AJ Dillon if Aaron Jones is limited or doesn't go on Thursday?
I think either way, if Aaron Jones is limited or doesn't play, I think you have to play AJ Dillon because he's proven in the past that he can be a versatile back. He can catch passes. I think that was an underrated skill of his coming out of college that not a lot of people thought he could do at this level, and he's been decent at it. I mean, he's not Aaron Jones, don't get me wrong, but what he does is he's a big bruising back. And I think he does feel like the type of running back that if he gets more of a consistent run where he can be the guy, I think he can be really effective. The Titans' run defense is mediocre, and it's a good spot for him. And coming off of a game where, you know, they wanted to run the ball again more than they normally would with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback, I think that A.J. Dillon would be a very good start. If in fact Aaron Jones, well, I guess what is AJ?
It is AJ.
if Aaron Jones does end up missing the game, or if he's clearly limited going in.
But so here's my other question then. Because Thursday, like the weeks leading up to Thursday for any team playing on Thursday, you know, this goes for the Packers, goes for the Titans, went for both the Panthers and Falcons last week, and will be the case for every team the rest of time, I would imagine. Because these teams play on Sunday and then they have to play again on Thursday, like the practice schedule is pretty, it's lighter than it usually would be, right? And if that's the case, then it's not as easy to get the this guy didn't play a lot in practice, because it may very well them being the team just holding out players so they are a little more fresh for Thursday night. You know what I mean? Like it's just harder to parse out how healthy players are. So I would be surprised if Aaron Jones was actually ruled out, let's say, before Thursday. Like I have a feeling he will suit up no matter what. And if that's the case, like how risky are you? What's your risk tolerance for knowing that Aaron Jones could suit up, but AJ Dillon might still, like, you know, in the end get most of the work? Because we got kind of boomed with that with Pacheco when Pacheco first was said to be handling the majority of the running back carries, right? And then he had like a big fat zero or like something very close to zero, right? So where do you fall on that?
I'm of the opinion with Aaron Jones that he's in that category of if he plays, you start him.
Right.
And I feel that same way about DeAndre Swift, although more and more is coming out about, hey, he's really not that healthy. But he scored a touchdown. And again, one of the more efficient players. Yeah. But Aaron Jones is like that too. Aaron Jones can make something out of nothing. He can break off a big run. He's got great hands and he can catch the ball and make something out of nothing there as well. So if he's playing, I think Green Bay is in a position that if he is playing, that means he's healthy enough to have at least a decent workload. And if Aaron Jones is getting 10 to 15 touches a week, I'm still starting him because of what he can do with those 10 to 15 touches.
If he starts, then do you still play Dylan?
Ooh, no, probably not.
Yeah, okay.
No, probably not. Just because I mean, well, on a short week, maybe. On a short week, you have to consider it because maybe he could get, if they want to run the ball 35 times, show that, would that be surprising to you? No, with the way the Green Bay offense has gone? So if Aaron Jones is clearly banged up, then I would consider starting AJ Dillon. But if it's like, you know, Aaron Jones is fine, then I would probably temper my expectations because you have to play him in a running back spot and you can't play him in a flex spot on Thursday night.
That, you know what? That's a good point, actually. That is a good point because, like, I guess you could risk it, but we've talked about that before because if you flex him and something else goes wrong for any other player, like, unless your guys are, like, the healthiest guys in the world, and if you have literally any other player with a questionable tag and you play a Thursday night player and you're flex, that's a good, great, great point that it might could screw you, basically, right? That could really backfire in a bad way. So, and then the other half of it is if you play him in your running back spot and you're potentially starting three running backs, like two running backs in their spots and then a flex spot, and you put another RB in there, then maybe, like, are you limiting yourself in case another better option comes up between Thursday and Sunday? Maybe, right? So I don't know. It depends on your roster construction, of course, but if you're hit with buys or injuries, maybe you don't have a choice. But I just find that situation so interesting because, like, AJ Dillon is right in that category, Matt, of, like, you don't feel great about starting him pretty much ever, but you also can't really drop him because, you know, as soon as you drop him, he's going to come back and bite you, right? So anyways, I thought that was an interesting conversation. Again, Titans, Packers going on Thursday night. The rest of the Week 11 slate will get going on Sunday. But that does it for this edition, this podcast edition of The Fantasy Show. Again, you can reach the show anytime at The Fantasy Show on Twitter, at SNS Alley with two L's, at MattyMar89. That's all on Twitter. And on Sundays, of course, you can text us at 590-590, name and location. We take all your texts leading up to the 1 p.m. kickoffs, and we'll answer as many text line questions as we humanly possibly can. But that's Matt Marchese. I'm Sho Alley. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.